Okay, how many of you still have parents that are living? Parents still alive? Okay, it's about half. Okay. Well, this morning on Father's Day, I'm not going to preach to or about fathers or about dads. I'm actually going to preach to children this morning. Okay, I'm going to actually preach to children on this Father's Day. And so we have obviously some here this morning that are children, but in reality, if your parents are still living, you're still their child in their eyes. And so that's kind of the direction this morning, is I'm going to preach on children being a blessing and you'll be blessed. Children being a blessing to their parents, and in so doing, you will be blessed. You know, the scriptures, the Bible, is really a wonderful book, okay? Because one of the great blessings of the Bible is that it reflects the heart and wisdom of God. But in reflecting the heart and wisdom of God, the Bible does a wonderful job of bringing a tremendous balance to the various topics and issues that it addresses. In other words, as we look at the Bible about certain issues or topics, though complicated, the scriptures many times bring a tremendous balance to those topics. As we think about relationships this morning, and we think more specifically about the relationship within our families, many times when we look at relationships and the conflict associated with relationships, because there is conflict in every relationship, we have a tendency to try to determine who is to blame for this or that within the context of that relationship. In other words, in our human culture, it's typical for us to give credit to one individual or one group within the context of that relationship, and then to blame another segment or another individual within that relationship. In other words, one group or another giving credit or blame. And usually what happens is the facts lie somewhere in between those two things, right? The facts usually lie in between. So when we talk about balance, when we talk about a parent-child relationship, the scripture again gives us a balance, a similar kind of balance within that relationship. In other words, whether it be our own families or our church family, we have relationships here. The scriptures give a particular balance within the context of those relationships. And what our relationships show us, the relationships of our family and the relationships of our church family, they show us that we are joined together as people. That's what these family relationships show us. That's what these church family relationships show us, that we are joined together as people. In other words, we don't live life alone, do we? We don't like, for the most part, living life alone. We've had a little bit of taste of that. And some folks, especially those that are in certain maybe healthcare facilities, just for their safety, they have very much had to live life alone. And we understand we are made in the image of God, social creatures, and we are not made to live life alone. We are made to interact with one another, especially within the context of our own families or within the context of our church family. So we are joined together as people. We do not live life alone. We learn from one another. We impact one another, do we not, through our time together? And so the scriptures, when we think of parents and children, the scriptures intertwine the responsibility of both parent and child in that relationship. We tend to think really on one side or the other in terms of our responsibilities. In other words, there's been many messages preached on the responsibility of moms, the responsibility of dads, the responsibility of children. But really, when you think about it, all of those relationships and all of those responsibilities are intertwined. They're a two-way street, okay? And so there's been numerous messages like that. But this morning, I would just like to focus on the impact that children have upon their parents. So if you're here, if you're a child here this morning, if you're 4, 5, 6, or maybe you're 10, or maybe you're 15, or maybe you're 18, 19, still in the home, you know what it is, and you've possibly gotten down pretty well this idea of obeying your parents, right? That you sort of got. But maybe you're not quite thinking that I as a child can not only obey my parents and fulfill that responsibility, but I as a child can be a blessing or impact my parents. And that's what I want you to go away with today. That you as a child, and we're all children if our parents are still living, we can have a ministry of blessing in their lives. We can have a ministry of impact in their lives. And so that's what we want to talk about. So whatever your age is this morning, if you're a child, because you're connected to your mom and dad by the providence of God, you can have a tremendous impact on your parents, not just your parents having an impact upon you. And that's a lot of times how we think about it. Okay? Both of these, we have this opportunity here. Okay? And so the importance of blessing or impacting our parents in our lives. And so Proverbs talks about in terms of children having impact on their parents, and we want to look at these this morning as we gather together here. Okay, so there's six of them. I'm going to go over six of them fairly quickly from the book of Proverbs, the way in which the book of Proverbs shows us that children can have an impact and be a blessing upon their children. The first one is, number one, choose your path well. If you want to be a blessing upon your parents, if you want to impact your parents for good, then make sure as a child that you choose your path well. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, children, or if you're a child here this morning, you know that there are certain things in your life that you could not choose. You did not have any choice in the parents that you have. You do not have any choice in the family in which you are part of. That was all within the providence of God. But you do have choices about other areas of life. There are other choices, especially as you mature and get older, that your parents allow you to make. So make sure that you are a blessing to them by choosing your path well. There's some debate upon how this passage should actually be interpreted. Are translated, all right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some people would maybe give the emphasis to this particular verse on parents showing the right path. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up, all right? And so it is the obligation of a parent to lead in the right way, to set the right pattern of life. Others may say the emphasis of this particular verse is parents training a child up according to his ways. Train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, we as parents, we adjust on how we train our children according to their temperament and abilities. Okay? And so there's some debate on how this verse is to be translated. Really, both of those applications are appropriate applications. We as parents, and all of us really, have the obligation to set the proper pattern of behavior and godliness to those that are younger than us, or those that are our children. We have that obligation to train them up through our example and through the lives that we live. But we also, if you're a parent here this morning, you understand that no two children are exactly alike, okay? And we have to adjust on how we deal with those children based upon their temperament and based upon their ability. And so both of those applications is true. But this verse raises the question of who is responsible for how a child turns out. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So who's responsible for how a child turns out? Okay, there is this line of thinking. That if I, as a parent, do everything right, okay, my kids will turn out right, okay? And if I do stuff wrong, then my kids will turn out wrong. But there's a problem with that when we think about it, okay? Because going into being a parent from day one, I think all of us here realize that we do not do everything right, okay? No parent here can say, if that was one of my questions this morning, I need the couple that in your parenting of your children, you've always done everything right. Are you the parent that has made the least mistakes? Please count up the number of mistakes you've made in parenting, and I want the least number of mistakes represented here in parenting. You know? I mean, we just can't, we wouldn't even be able to calculate that. So the reality is there's not one parent that's going to do everything right. And so if my child's success is based upon my efforts only, my children have no chance. They have no chance because I'm a sinner and I make mistakes. But as we read the scriptures, it gives us some indication because we see a lot of different things and scenarios there. We look at the scriptures and we see children of good parents that became bad people, right? We could find that in the scriptures. We could also find children of bad parents that became good people. We could also find bad parents whose children became bad people. And we could find good parents whose children became good people. What I'm saying is we can look at the scriptures and we could see all four of those scenarios. In other words, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. But yet we have a responsibility to do what we ought to do as parents. So why the mystery to all this? Whose fault is it if a child goes off the rails? Whose fault is it? Okay? And we try to figure it out. Sometimes we're just trying to place blame or whatever it might be, or relieve guilt. I don't know. A lot of different motivations for that. But whose fault is it when a child goes off the rails? Sometimes a foolish adult is a result of parental failure. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So sometimes a foolish adult is the result of parental failure. But sometimes children simply don't respond to the rightful reproof that parents give. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scorning fool, heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 17:21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow. The father of a fool hath no joy. So sometimes a child going off the rails is a result of a parent who does not fulfill certain parental responsibilities, but sometimes a child going off the rails is a result of a child not listening to the instruction and the guidance of a parent. Their choice to listen or not determines the course of their life. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. And a child that chooses to go his own way and not listen and despises the instruction of his parents, then most likely that child's life is going to go off course because they chose not to listen to their parents. Okay? The book of Proverbs gives three factors that determine the way a child grows up and the direction they take. One of them is the hearts they were born with. Now, what heart were we born with as children? Psalm 51, verse 15 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We go astray from the womb, the scripture says. So our nature determines the direction of our lives. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by nature. And that determines the course and direction of our life. Another factor that the book of Proverbs mentions is the quality of parenting that a child receives. That nurturing. Bring a child up and then nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so that affects a child. The influence of parents, the nurturing, the rearing of them. And then the third is their own choices. Children make their own choices at some point, okay? And so that determines the direction of their life. So the question is, which factor was it when a child goes off? Is it their nature? Is it the nurturing? Is it their own choices? Well, the answer is yes. It can be a multitude of reasons on why a child may go off course in their lives. But as a child here this morning, especially our younger people, you need to recognize that your parents will not do everything perfectly. And it did not take you long to recognize that. You very easily and very quickly became dissatisfied with your parents and didn't think that they were making decisions in your best interest. Okay? And you have to understand that your parents are not going to do everything perfectly, but you still have a choice to do the right thing. You still have a choice to do the right thing. And just because your parents, you can point to certain failures in your parents' life, right? We could all point to certain failures in our parents' life. That does not give us as children or you as a child the freedom to choose what you know is wrong. If you know it's wrong, it's wrong, okay? And you need to choose to do right and not use the shortcomings of your parents as an excuse to do what you know is wrong. So choose the right path and God will honor that. So how do you actually do that? Because choosing to do right isn't easy. Choosing to do right does not come naturally to us. Well, the New Testament gives us some insight. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So when we think about choices, where do our choices come from? Our choices are rooted in our heart's desires. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So our choices are rooted in our heart desires, and our heart's desires flow from our character of who we are. Okay? So how do I change who I am? If I'm struggling to choose the path that is honoring to the Lord of my parents, and my choices come from my heart's desires, and my heart's desires are and those choices are rooted in my character, how do I change who I am? Well, it really comes down to having a living relationship through Jesus Christ. That's really where it starts. In other words, as you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God gives you of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that indwells you and begins to transform your life. And as you follow his leading, as you yield and walk in the Spirit, then you will do the right thing. In my life as a teenager, there was a time, my freshman and sophomore years, I wasn't a believer. I was choosing to do the wrong thing. Really wasn't concerned too much about hurting my parents to the point that I was willing to change my behavior, to change my choices. There's things I wanted to do. But after I got saved, the Spirit of God came into my life and began to transform me. Part of that was a desire to please my parents, to choose a path that would honor them, to make good grades, to let them know where I was and what I was doing and when I was going to be home and those types of things. I got joy out of that. And it all started with the new birth and allowing the Spirit of God to transform my lives. You'll do the right thing if you're walking in the Spirit, nurturing your spiritual life rather than yielding to your passions and your desires. Okay? So how do I have an impact and bless my parents? I choose the right path. I make good choices. Number two, honor your parents. Honor your parents. I'll just read the verses. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Okay? Honor your parents. If you want to know somebody who's living like a fool, consider whether or not they are honoring their parents. If you have young people, if you have friends, young people that are dishonoring their parents, that they are living foolishly, the scripture says. Okay? Even if parents have messed up, and you maybe have some friends who parents have really messed up, okay, they can still honor their parents. They can find something to honor them for. Somebody wrote once, Tim Keller, on a book on parenting, wrote, children should be aware of the power they have to bless or to curse their parents just by the way they live. Okay? Young people, be aware of the power you have to bless or curse your parents just by the way you live. Proverbs 30:11 says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagle shall eat it. That's pretty gruesome, is it not? Now that does that mean literally that, as you slam, go barging into your bedroom and slam the door and you're mocking and despising your parents, or you walk out the front door and, you know, heading out to do something and you just had a fight with your parents and all of a sudden, and you duck, head for cover, okay? It doesn't necessarily, it's not really what it's saying, but it is saying that if you choose to live a life of belittling your parents, of mocking your parents, of treating your parents like dirt, of not having your parent and not allowing your parents to have the right to speak into your life, that you're kind of on a course of trouble. And maybe even so much so that your life may be shortened. On a positive sense, doesn't Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 in the fifth commandment say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment that is given with promise, that your life might be long on the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Isn't that blessing connected with that command of honoring your parents? That, listen, you honor me, and I'll honor you. Not by giving you a troubled-free life, but a life in which my grace and favor is upon your life. So you want to honor your parents. You know why you should? You know what should be a motivation to honor your parents? Because it's good for you. Honoring your parents brings blessing to you, okay, in your life. Why is it so important to do that? You know, we can't see God. We can't touch God. We can't look at God. But God has established authorities in our lives, and parents are one of those authorities that God has established in our lives. And some of the best authority, you know, young people, you may not believe this because I didn't believe it when I was a teenager. When I was a child, especially when I was a teenager, I didn't believe this, but some of the best authority that you will ever enjoy is the authority of your mom and dad. Now, some of you may say, you're kidding me. I can't wait till I get out from underneath their authority. It couldn't come any sooner, man. All right? But the reality is, and you'll come to appreciate this, especially if you have godly parents, that some of the best authority you will ever enjoy, is the authority of your mom and dad. You know, most of the authorities that you have in your life, they may be decent people. You've had other authorities in your life that were decent people, teachers, coaches, whatever it might be. These are people that were quality people. They were good people. They were decent people. They had an impact upon your life, but they will not care for you to the degree that most of you young people here. I know in other situations that it may be different. But in your context, you'll not have other people that will care to you for the degree that your parents have, right? You would agree with that. Even a parent who may fail in various ways, their children, they still love their children in spite of the mistakes they've made. So you have the chance to live under the authority of those who actually love you, who honor your parents. So just take some time to think about it. How can I show honor to my parents today? I had a pastor friend, Pastor Jerry Wass, I've mentioned him many times. We all know what it is to obey your parents. Doing what I'm told to do it, doing what I'm told, when I'm told to do it, with the right heart attitude. You learned that when you were three. What is obedience? Doing what I'm told to do, when I'm told to do it, with the right heart attitude. But what does honor mean? I think we understand it means respect. But what Pastor Wass used to say, and I think this is especially good for teenagers who, as they get older, understand this a little bit. Honoring my parents is being sensitive to my parents' preferences. In other words, you know you're honoring your parents when it just the bottom line is just doing what they say to do or not do. Where you say, what would really make my dad happy? What would my dad prefer I do as I'm mowing the lawn? Would he prefer that I just mow the lawn? Or would it really, my dad's preference to trim the lawn and then, you know, blow the lawn? Get it off the sidewalk, the dead grass. What would my dad prefer? Because, yeah, I could just mow it and dad would be happy. I wouldn't get in trouble. But man, if I did what he really wanted. See, that's honoring your parents. And so how can I honor my parents? And when we think about honoring our parents, young people, it's not just buttering up to them. It's just not like, Dad, happy Father's Day. You're awesome, man. You're the greatest dad ever. Can I have the car keys? You know? It's just not buttering them up. But no, it's honoring them. It's living the way your parents taught you to live. It's expressing appreciation for the sacrifices that they make for you. And make sure you do it. Don't wait until you're old. Start now. Start now to show them honor in that way. So choose the right path. That'll be a blessing to your parents. Honor your parents. Then number three, remember that our lives are interconnected. Our lives are interconnected. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother or brings heaviness to his mother. Here's a principle. I think we all understand this. When we do good to other people, we derive a benefit as well. Have you ever experienced that? You do good for someone, thinking to bring good in their lives, but you find out you received a benefit as well. Okay? And so as we understand that we're interconnected, as I do good and seek to be a blessing to my parents, I receive benefit as well. Tim Keller writes, you cannot be fully happy unless the loved one is happy as well. Okay? Kind of a flip of that. You remember, have you ever heard the phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Okay? And so we, within the interconnectedness of our family, we cannot truly be happy and joyful if everybody in our family is not happy or joyful. People who love you hurt when you pursue a selfish path. People who love you hurt when you pursue a selfish path. I did that in my life. I hurt my parents during that 2 years of rebellion. I hurt them. Okay? I mean, literally one night, I've told you before, I was out late. It was before cell phones. I was hanging out with a group of guys that were older than me. You know, I had cars and stuff. I got stuck in a situation where I couldn't get home. I could have walked. It would take me quite a while. But I didn't want to seem like I was uncool by saying, hey, can you take me home? You know, I got to be home. And so, you know, I just was very uncomfortable, but, you know, in that moment didn't have a solution that I thought was workable. Parents had no clue where I was. Got to be midnight, 1 o'clock. Okay, come home. You know, questions going through my mind. Is the front door going to be locked? Can I sneak in? And then maybe they're asleep, and then I can tell them, oh, I got home at, you know, a reasonable time. Because it was 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, school night, and the door was locked. The light was on that was normally on at night, and so I said, what do I do? Do I sleep on the lounge out on the front porch and just take my medicine in the morning, or do I knock right now and just get it over with? So I knocked on the door, and my mom came to the door, and this was already a year or so after she had told me that she had had cancer and breast cancer, hoping to shake me out of my rebellion with that reality, but hey, I was kind of selfish. I was real selfish. And so anyway, you know what I remember from that conversation last night that my mother said to me? All right, as a 14-year-old kid, this is what I remember from that conversation. Don't remember much of anything else. Remember her face and her tears. But she said, Steve, if you don't change the direction of your life, you're going to be a bum. That's what I remember from that conversation. Do you think those words were said with a lot of hurt? I think my mother was deeply hurt. She was deeply hurt. And so we have to understand we're interdependent upon one another. Okay? So a child who doesn't do right brings great pain to his parents. And so we are unavoidably interdependent. We become what we are, not simply by the choices we make, because we do make choices, but through how we are loved and treated by others, for better or for worse. So we owe others much, and others owe us as well, because we are interrelated, interconnected to one another. And so when we think about making choices, sinful choices, they are not wrong and destructive only in the sense that they are sinful. They are doubly wrong, and we are doubly guilty because they always bring grief upon others. So my choice to stay out late, why it may have had some effect upon my life negatively, no sleep, homework wasn't done, fell asleep in class the next day, okay? But it also brought hurt upon my parents, see? And so I have to understand that. Usually when we choose to do wrong as parents or children, there is an extreme self-centeredness to it. It's all about many times what we want right now, okay? Totally disregarding how it might affect others, right? When we, all of us here, when we choose to sin, many times it's because we are very self-focused and we don't take the time to think about how is it going to affect other people, okay? One of the things that can help us most in choosing to do the right thing is before I make the wrong choice to think about all the people that I have connections with. Think about the impact that my actions or my attitudes or my words will have on them. Before I say something to somebody in my family, let's think about the impact that those words will have within that family. And as we take the time to think about that, that will hopefully steer us in a direction of making the right choice, to do the right thing, okay? And so one of the motivations of making the right choice is knowing that this will not only be good for me, right, but it will also bless other people. So choose the right path, honor your parents, and remember that our lives are interconnected, and we see that in the family. Number four, make character your chief concern. Make character your chief concern. Proverbs 17:2, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Okay? In other words, young people, there's many things as a child you can focus on as it relates to your perception to your peers and your place within your teen culture or whatever it might be. In other words, how much money my parents have, because how much money my parents have determines what phone I get or what clothes I wear. Or what car I might be able to drive, okay? And you can let that be the focus of your life, what you put your emphasis on. And don't let those things be the chief concern. Let character be your chief concern. This verse kind of tells us that the wise individual is the one that is going to benefit the most, okay? And so as you make character your chief concern, ultimately in the long run, you will be the one that truly benefits. okay, as you make that your concern. It's written, character and ability outweigh blood and family ties. This principle works itself out in the New Testament, where we see it is never race or social standing, but faith in Jesus Christ alone that brings an inheritance into God's family. Privilege and insider status means much to the world, but nothing to God. Okay? And so our character and abilities will outweigh our connections in life. Character and ability will create opportunities. Matthew 8, 11, and 12 tells us that there are people that will have wonderful family connections. They will have great opportunities. They will have special privileges, but they will spend eternity in hell because they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Those who are in Christ are the ones that will inherit his everlasting kingdom. Okay? And so young people, make character the emphasis. You know, even you know the Bible says, be thou an example of the believer. Do you know, and we have many young people in this church and have had in this church and other young people I've known as I've worked closely with young people for, oh, I don't know, since 1983. I've seen many young people whose lives are characterized by love, by joy, by peace, gentleness, long-suffering, faith, and self-control. Even as young people, these fruits of the Spirit can characterize your life because you're born again. The Spirit dwells within you. You're walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is being developed in your life. Okay? And you are characterized by those things. Not your clothes, not your grades, not your talents. Not that those things are not important, but let your character be the emphasis of your life. So let character be your chief concern. Number five, remember those who follow you. Remember those who follow you. Pastor Williams will be here on July 19th. He and his student leadership conference defines what leadership is for teenagers. Leadership, he narrows down, he and Ken Collier, to one word, influence. Leadership is influence. And because we all have influence, everyone in this room has influence over somebody. We all are leaders, okay? And so because we're all leaders, because we all have influence, we need to remember those who follow us. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men. Grandchildren are like a reward given to those who have over long life of pursuing righteousness rather than foolish paths. Children and grandchildren are a blessing from God, a blessing from God. And because as parents and so forth, we've invested into our children. And because we've invested in that generation, God gives us grandchildren for the same purpose of having an impact in their lives as well, of coming generations. That will be the emphasis of Pastor Williams, of reproducing ourselves in coming generations. Titus chapter 2. As a church family, we have a responsibility to reproduce ourselves in one another's lives. From the oldest to the youngest, we are to have influence and remember those who follow you. Little brothers or sisters or young people in the church. And we see that happening in our church many times. And as we invest ourselves in the next generations, there is a harvest of joy. As we see godliness produced, there's a payoff for giving ourselves to the lives of other people. You ever heard the phrase, boy, when it comes to investing in the lives of other people through Sunday school or nursery or just going to their ball games or you know, whatever it might be, and you see God working in their lives and their lives, and you just say, boy, I'm just clipping coupons. You know, all the hard work, all the investment, now the joy of just seeing what God's doing in their lives. That brings blessing to people. And so remember those that follow you. It's natural for young children to glory in their fathers. Young people, when you were 3, 4, or 5 years old, your dad was a superhero, man. He was a superhero, okay? And that's important because we get our image of God through that of the lives of our fathers. But we as fathers have to be careful because that glory can turn to disillusionment if we're not keeping in context those who follow us. But if you this morning have a parent who have proven themselves that they're worth boasting over, particularly as you get older and have more insight into what that really is, to live that type of honorable life, It's a special blessing to children, okay? For those of you who are parents or grandparents here this morning, you will likely be that for life. You may have some children that will precede you, but for the most part, if you are a parent or a grandparent this morning, you will be that for life, okay? And make sure that you, we need to make sure that you and I give them reason to glory, okay? That they know that we are people, parents or grandparents that follow God, that they have been blessed to be connected to us in that way. We need to live that type of life so our children will have reason to glory in us as parents or grandparents or just as people, okay? And to them who are even children now, those of you here that this morning that are 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 18, 20, remember that in time, if the Lord tarries, you will in all likelihood one day become a parent and yes, maybe even a grandparent, okay? I look at myself at 61 years of age with 3 grandchildren forth on the way on August 10th. Harper, the oldest, turning 2 here next week. And I think, I'm a grandparent? I mean, it almost seems weird sometimes, you know? But yet, young people, one day, if the Lord tarries, you most likely will be a parent and a grandparent, okay? In time, a child becomes a parent and at length a grandparent. Here's the point. Walk a path, we as adults, as children, walk a path as parents that your children and grandchildren can follow to their benefit rather than your harm. But start walking that way while you're a child. In other words, young people, be the person that you're trying to become, okay? If you have a good mom and dad now, think about the things you admire in your mom and dad and say, I want to be a person like that. I want to be the kind of parent or grandparent whose kids and grandkids want to follow, listen to, and look up to, okay? Becoming that type of person doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in the delivery room when they say, you're a proud parent of a baby boy. It doesn't just happen in that moment. It's a life-building process. So if you have parents or grandparents that you admire now and there are certain qualities about them, you start trying to be that person now. Just getting old doesn't make you a good person. Okay? You can be an old, bad person. Okay? That is true. All right? And so we need to realize that. Do you know who becomes an old person? Who becomes old, cranky people? Young people, do you know some old, cranky people? Do you know who becomes old, cranky people? Old people? Young, cranky people. Okay? And so, if you want to be the type of person that is sweet, a beneficial person that loves other people and other people love them, then be that person now. Okay? And start when you're a child. Remember those that follow you. So when you get up there, they'll respect. They'll want to be like you. They'll want to be around you. Lastly, show loyal courage under fire. Show loyal courage under fire. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The test of steadfast love is when times are hard. Don't be the fickle friend who is nowhere to be found when people need you most. You know, there are those that gather around you when you're on the mountaintop, right? Everybody wants to be around the person when they're on the mountaintop. And then they do a vanishing act when life becomes difficult and dark, okay? You know who your friends really are by those who are still with you when life is dark and difficult. And in a family, that's important, okay? Young people, let me say this to you because I wasn't as a teenager, but listen to this. Even as children, you can be aware of when your parents are going through tough times. Even as children, you can be aware when your parents are going through tough times. And you need to develop that type of awareness in your life, that type of sensitivity, okay, of showing loyal courage to them and steadfastness to them in their difficult times. They're not going to share everything with you because they are there to protect you. And so they will not share every struggle, every hardship. They will shelter you. But you can kind of get a sense that mom and dad are going through a tough time, and I think it may be related to this or maybe related to that. And some parents will be easier than others. My boys, Jeff especially, he could read me in a moment. He could walk into my office in the middle of a school day and he could see, and it would not take him 3 seconds to say, "What's up?" He knew something was going on. He was sensitive, and my other kids are the same way. They develop that sensitivity that they're aware that, Dad, Mom, going through a tough time. Well, develop that. That's a good thing to do. Because in those moments, you can show, during those difficult times, you can show this steadfast love to them. It's critical because that's a dominant characteristic of the character of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy. His steadfast love endureth forever. That's a quality of God. In the midst of our hard times, in the midst of our difficulty, God doesn't abandon us. He shows a loyal courage and steadfast love to us. And so we want to reflect the character of God within our family and build that kind of loyal courage under fire. And so that's what we need to do. So these six characteristics that children and adults need to practice, all right, need to practice. Choose your path well. Consider what you are choosing to do and not to do each day. Honor your parents. Think how you can show honor to your parents. How can you honor them at home, at school, when your other classmates are belittling their parents or mocking their parents, making fun of their parents? You don't get involved in that conversation. You don't become a part of that. You honor your parents even in their absence. Remember, our lives are interconnected. Make character your chief concern. Remember those who follow you and show loyal courage under fire. Be a blessing and you'll be blessed. Be a blessing and you'll be blessed. Okay? As you leave today, the offering plates will be in the back for your tithes and offerings, or you can place it in the slot there. Let's stand together. And as we depart, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're a child here this morning, you may be a child at 5 years of age. You may be a child at 50 years of age. If your parents are still living or grandparents are still living, you have the opportunity to be a blessing to them and have an impact upon their lives. Do it while you have the opportunity. And so before I close in prayer, maybe you just say a word of prayer, asking God to give you that grace to be that blessing and impact upon your mom, dad, grandma, or grandpa. Father, we thank you for the joy and blessing of family that you've created and instituted, where a man and woman become husband and wife, and they, Father, just bring forth children and fill the earth as you bless the womb and the opening of the womb and the giving of children that are a heritage of the Lord. We thank you for the blessing of family, and we know we fail within those responsibilities as moms and dads and husbands and wives and children. Lord, give us that grace through your Spirit as we yield to you to have that positive impact and blessing within the context of our family, the context of our relationships, even our church relationships here. And what a joy that can bring as we obey your word and honor you and just living out our lives in a way that would please you. So Lord, give us grace, especially our young people and our children, to obey this very important command of obedience and honor, but even thinking beyond that to being a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a good day.